Hi. This is Angelotta. Welcome to another edition of Sadistically Speaking. This is episode 33, Guns, Car Crashes, and Saber-Toothed Tigers. Oh my. In my classes on scientific thinking, I had an exercise in which I would ask the students to imagine what the graph looks like, the graph for the number of gun deaths in America by year starting in 1990. You can do this yourself. Imagine the x-axis is year, starting with 1990, and the y-axis is gun deaths. And the question is, what does the line in the graph look like? I then showed the students a graph with a line that started very low for the 1990s and then rose drastically, increasing at an even greater rate in the last several years. So, like, just upturn J, sort of. Most students agree that this is exactly the graph they imagined for the massive increase in gun deaths that we were experiencing in the country. The problem is that the graph I showed them was actually number of cell phones purchased in America by year. As I mentioned back in podcast episode 31 on gun control, this is not what the graph actually looks like for gun deaths. If you look at gun death numbers posted by the CDC, the graph actually looks like the opposite, with the peak in the early 1990s, the rapid drop-off up to around 2000, and then a steady decline subsequently. Also, as I mentioned in that podcast, a great surprise to most people, most gun deaths are actually suicides, with over two suicides for every homicide with a gun, again, according to the CDC. So why are we all under this mass illusion that gun violence is worse now in America than ever before? Well, it's a very good example of what has been called the availability heuristic. The availability heuristic. That's fun to say. Originally studied by Amos Tversky and Daniel Kahneman in 1973, the basic idea is that our estimate of the likelihood or probability of some event is determined in part by how easy it is to come up with examples of that event in our mind. That is, how available it is to our thoughts. If you can think of something easily, it probably has a high likelihood of happening. It probably happens a lot. So, because it's so easy for us to come up with examples of gun deaths in this country, we overestimate them significantly. Now, some people refer to the word heuristic as a mental shortcut or a bias, making it sound like it's a failing. But it's really a way to estimate the likelihood of something if you don't actually have the numbers to calculate the real probability. All right, that sounds too geeky as well. Stay with me here. The availability heuristic actually worked really well for our ancestors. It's actually an evolved way to make sense of the world. Think about humans thousands of years ago. Nearly all of their knowledge of the world came from personal experience or was transmitted to them from people who lived with them or right next door in the same region, their kin. So if they experienced an event or heard about one, then it's highly likely to happen again because it's information about the area and their current conditions. For example, if you've witnessed a bunch of saber-toothed tiger attacks, then it's a good idea to be fearful of saber-toothed tigers. Let me stop and make it clear that I know saber-toothed tigers may not actually have coexisted with humans, but I like the example anyway. We're going saber-toothed tiger on this one. So, fear of saber-toothed tiger attacks are rational for you because you've witnessed or heard about them often. It's easy to think about an example of an attack. That is, it's available to you. And so it's quite likely to happen again in your village or cave or whatever. Shit, Uncle Roy died from a saber-toothed tiger attack. I should be afraid of saber-toothed tigers. That allows you to evolve and continue on to reproduce. If, on the other hand, you live in a part of the world where there aren't saber-toothed tigers, then it would be really weird for you to be deathly afraid of them. You should probably be more afraid of the Tyrannosaurus Rex attacks you keep witnessing. The availability heuristic works quite well if you're culturally isolated and parochial, because all knowledge is local knowledge and therefore relevant to you. Now, I understand that being culturally isolated is a bad word today. You don't want to be culturally isolated, especially in our expansive world experience. But the problem is, we're still registering our knowledge with these ancestral brains. We haven't evolved that much. There hasn't been enough time for true evolution. I mean, yes, we have hovercrafts and helicopters on Mars and peep-flavored Pepsi, but humans still sniff their fingers if they get poop on it while wiping. So herein lies the problem. Think about it. Most of your knowledge of the world, or at least a large portion of it, does not come from your direct experience. Most of it comes from other sources: books, TV, movies, the internet, dun dun dun. These sources of information are not local to you. In fact, the promise of the internet was that we were no longer constrained by where we were physically or what our local culture was. You could see a video from anywhere in the world. But these experiences on the internet and TV and books affect what readily comes to our minds, what is easily accessible, and thus changes the availability of ideas and events. And so we have a whole bunch of irrational fears. Easy example. Many people are afraid of flying in planes, even though they ride around in their cars all day. Your chance of dying in a car crash, 80 times more likely than dying in a plane crash. According to the CDC, you're twice as likely to be killed in a car crash than to be murdered. Why aren't there more car phobias? And shit, you're twice as more likely to die from diabetes than in a car crash. Why aren't there more donut phobias? One reason is because nearly every plane crash with fatalities is presented on the news. Shit, no one watches the news. Nearly every time it will show up in your news feed. But very few diabetes cases are going to show up. And even car crash deaths are infrequently reported. As a result, it is easier to have a fear of the unlikely event of dying in a plane crash. It's more accessible and easier to bring to your mind. The availability heuristic. So the fact that the media covers plane crashes and homicides more often distorts our view of how likely they are and creates irrational fears. So there have been an increased number of media reports on gun violence in the last several years, in part because it's just been the case that, one, while on general deaths are down, the number of active shooter cases where you can report on someone while they still have the gun before being apprehended has gone up, and mass shootings are up. And that makes compelling TV, even though there's still a small percentage of gun deaths. This leads to angry discussions on gun control, and the result is that any shootings that happened end up on your newsfeed to strengthen the case for gun control. Case in point. Last week, there were national reports about a shooting in Austin, Texas, and in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The Austin shooting was a domestic dispute, and the Kenosha one had to do with a fight in a bar. These may have been considered local stories in the past, but they are now national because people are interested. People want to hear about these stories because it leads into what's the current narrative in the country. Unfortunately, it also leads us, all of us, to believe that the probability of getting shot is higher than it is, and that we have an increased fear of being shot. I've seen it in people's posts. This leads us to actually click on these stories more. We're interested because we have this fear. I'm afraid of sharks. You put a shark story up, shit, I'm clicking on that. The problem is that when you click on gunshot stories or gun death stories, it leads the media to make more. They're in the business of getting clicks. And so we have a feedback loop. We click more, they make more, we click more, they make more, and we build irrational fear. Again, I want to make it clear, I hate guns. Wish there were no guns. Take away the fucking guns. But this is a question about rationality. So, for example, if you put a death crawl for COVID on your network screen, CNN, you're making it more likely that people will have a perverted view of the probability of dying from the virus. Then you can run a bunch of stories about how anxiety rates are skyrocketing in the country during the pandemic. Where do you think that's coming from? A recent Gallup poll asked Americans, obviously just a group of Americans, but what percentage of Americans they thought who were infected by coronavirus require hospitalizations. Only 18% of the people in the poll responded correctly. The answer is between 1 and 5%. The most popular answer? 50% or more. The most popular answer was that over half of people who get coronavirus are in the hospital, which is more than 10 times the actual probability. Yet 35% of people chose this outrageous number. This illusion was even greater amongst those people who call themselves Democrats, with 41% choosing this ridiculous stat. Where are they getting their info? Good job, CNN. In episode 27 of this podcast, I talked about the blood clot fears from vaccines and how irrational they were given the actual number of reports. I made that podcast before this equally disturbing pausing of the Johnson & Johnson shot because of blood clots. But what's worse than the stupidity of the decision of making that pause is the wide reporting of it in the media. Everyone has seen this story. I don't know anybody who doesn't know about the pausing the Johnson & Johnson shot for blood clots. What that means is that my perceived likelihood of getting a blood clot is elevated to an irrational level. I'm not taking this vaccine. I don't want a damn blood clot, says the obese woman right as she takes her birth control pill and hops on a 5-hour flight to Hawaii. Speaking of irrational fears, we are way too afraid of getting caught saying something that might be offensive to somebody. I know this is not a very original take, but I want to go back to the shootings in Austin, Texas last week. When the story came out, I, of course, clicked on the link because I wanted to ensure that they will continue reporting every time there's a shooting. Anyway, the shooter was still at large when I clicked, and the USA Today story reported this. His name was Stephen Nicholas Broderick. He was 5'7", medium build, last seen wearing a gray hoodie and a dark baseball cap. Period. Let me read it again. His name is Stephen Nicholas Broderick. He's 5'7", medium build, last seen wearing a gray hoodie and a dark baseball cap. Any other information you want to give me there, USA Today? I presume that you're providing this information so that I might recognize the perpetrator. Anything else that you might have that might be helpful? Like maybe his fucking race? Come on! You give me his fucking middle name and his exact height, and you can't tell me his race? He has a mole on his right ass cheek, and his favorite color is salmon pink. Can anyone guess what race Stephen Nicholas Broderick is? He's black. Wasn't reported. I saw a picture of him. I'm not saying, can you guess, because that's more likely to have committed a crime, because actually mass shootings are way more likely to be white. I'm asking because why would they not include it? This may have been useful information, helpful information. I mean, last seen in gray hoodie and a dark baseball hat? Have you been to Austin? That's how everyone fucking dresses. Unhelpful. On the other hand, here's something about Austin from the census. Only 7.8% of Austinites are black. So that might have been helpful for looking for someone who is armed and fleeing a felony. Also, what is medium build? What do I work at the fucking men's warehouse? He's a 42 regular. I presume you're delicately telling me that he's not a fat ass. No shit, he fled the scene of the crime. I understand we're in delicate times. I understand that because politicians and media heads keep telling me that. But what the actual fuck? Seriously. To the author of the USA Today article, do you really know any people, except those who are screaming hate mongers on TV, any black people who would be offended if you happen to include the fact that the guy who is a fugitive is black in your description? It's pretty relevant. What are they going to go, well, shit, there goes our reputation. I don't know what that accent was. It was like a southern sort of white accent that I did. Ah, fuck. It all makes me want to drink. Or maybe I'll just search the internet for saber-toothed tiger sightings. Fuck it. Pass the tequila. Out!